One of the obvious things we can observe of other religions is the absence of the Spirit and absence of God in that religion. They say they worship a God, but the God they worship is absent all the time. It's absent all the time. There is no single trace of the God they worship in all their cultic system or worship system. There is no God. So people can go to mosque and they come out, have not met with God. People can go to temples and they can exercise some rituals and things like that, and they come back also having not met God. And I think the temptation for us also as Christians, we may try to go to church, and just the thought of being in the church is enough in itself without meeting God. God didn't intend that. He wants his people to have a clear exchange of affection and communication in prayer, and God is speaking to us in his word and having our hearts being touched by our God. And there is this assurance of the Holy Spirit that we have met with God. And God always was against the idea of having his own people, having a form of religion without him in their midst. And so that is something God always was clear about. God in the midst of his own people. And that is why we don't talk a lot about the Ark of the Covenant that we are going to share about it today. We just have in the reference in the five verses that David read to us that after David established himself and in Jerusalem after he conquered, moving from Horeb after the death of Saul, and now he's making himself a king, is settling. God called him to be a king, and not without mistakes, and he had already taken concubines, and yet it's not about David, it's about God. Huh? So all that we are about is not about David. So we are learning from God. And so they want to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. You know that the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and we have the Ichabod, the glory is lost or has departed. Yeah, I think the lost, not departed. So the glory of God didn't depart just like because God wanted to depart from his own people. Actually, it was taken. So they lost it. That is why I love that translation. The glory is lost, not has departed. So now David is trying to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. And so what is it? What is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, the Ark of the Covenant is a wood. It was a wood made. You see, so we get that the description in Exodus 25, isn't it? So Exodus 25 tells us how God has instructed Moses to build the Ark of the Covenant. And so this is what in verse 10 of chapter 25 says, have them make a chest. Make a chest of acacia wood. This wood is made from this certain tree that cannot be corrupted. You see, so this wood, they call it sunut in Arabic, acacia in English, and it's type of the woods that produced gum that is used in different things, for different things. And so it's just in itself. And 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 wide, and 1.5 high, overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other side. And so I'm not really a good carpenter. So the description is telling us that the most important things here is the laws here, because the law is going to be put inside that box. The Ten Commandments. And so this is done to protect the Ten Commandments that are speaking of God himself, that he gave to his own people. That reveals God. And so God is protecting this. And this Ark of the Covenant has become so important in their worship because it represents God. It points to God in their midst. So that is why, and in there we know that the first commandment is that you shall have no other gods before you. And when Moses was taken to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai, and when he was coming down, he heard people were really playing. They made already a golden calf. They were worshiping a god. Just imagine if Moses insisted on going into the midst of these people and saying there's nothing wrong has happened. He had to break. The tablet, so that God cannot really dwell with another God there, because beside him there is no other God. And so the Ark of the Covenant was pointing to God in the midst of his own people. And that is why it was so important for David to bring the Ark of the Covenant, because the presence of God in his own people was very important. That is why Moses, because he knew what it is to worship a personal God. He knew that. So in Exodus 32:3, he was reasoning with God when they were going to be moved into the promised land. He said to the Lord, "If you are not coming with us, do not move us to the promised land." Because the land is not a promised land without the Lord himself. And I think for us, also a challenge, a big challenge for us. So let us aim at having God in our midst when we come to worship. In our gathering always, let us make sure that God is in our midst. It's very important. Otherwise, we will be religious people. That was my message to a group of people last night. Southern Sudanese, Nui people. That we need to love God. Can two walk together? That was the verse I read. Can two walk together if they have not agreed? And so the Lord God is after a personal relationship. And in the Old Testament, God said, there will come a time when I will, because I'm making better promises. And the better promise is that I will put the word of God in your heart. I will change your heart of stone into a heart of flesh. So you have a living relationship with your God. And now the Ark of the Covenant in itself was just pointing to the presence of God himself. That is why it was so protected. Because we cannot approach God in our sinful state. We can only approach him for forgiveness. And the Old Testament people, they were regulation. They were told how to do it, how to come to God. And to go into the Holy of Holies, where these wooden boxes lying there overlaid with gold. Inside there, there's this. Ark of the Testament or covenant. There were regulations that only the high priest will go there once a year to bring the sins of the people in appealing to God for forgiveness of these ones. And he himself, because we heard 2 weeks ago, that he is with sin. Also, he would bring a sacrifice for himself to atone for his sins. It was very important for the high priest to go into the presence of God, to speak to God, to meet God personally, because he appears before the cherubims. I didn't go on to really describe the Ark of the Covenant. But you have these two angels, and between them the Lord will just descend and to make his presence known to his own people. And they will believe that God has visited them, and in his coming he has forgiven their sins. That is why it was very important for David, for King David, to acquire of the Ark of the Covenant, to have the Ark come. Well, we in the New Testament, we are different because the curtain, the way to the Holy of Holies has been opened for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, He has come not only to be in our midst, but to be in our hearts. And so in our fellowship with Him, we need to make sure that we are communing with Him. Like we know His presence with us. We know that He is with us. We know that He cares, because that is what He says through the New Testament. I will be with you. Come to me. I am the light of the world. If you believe in me, you shall not walk in the darkness, but you shall have the light of life. So is Jesus coming into to be with His own people after He has done this great work of salvation on the cross of Calvary? And now we see these people, because these verses, really we can't really benefit from them if we don't see the importance of the ark being the midst of His own people, God and His own people, in the midst of His own people. And when the ark was not with them, and you see, because the ark represents God, we find in Chronicles that when the ark was at the house of this man, Abinadab, so his house was blessed. But at the same time, there was this idols in the temple that whenever they come in the morning, they find this idol falling flat before the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark of the idol cannot stand in the presence of God, of Israel. And I believe David want to make sure that God is in their midst, because we know what will happen if God is in their midst. When God is in their midst, I don't have time to go into what God does when He is in the midst. You know, he fought their battles. He fought their battles, and he blessed them. He speak to them. He multiplied their crops. He marked them out as holy people or holy nations. So there was a need for them to have the ark come into their midst, because also the ark is the only ultimate representation of the God of Israel in the midst of His own people. And I think the challenge for us today in our worship as God's people, we need to really have, even in all our meetings, whether our home groups, whether church services, whether our prayer meetings, we need to make sure that God is in our midst. And maybe the first thing we need to do in the first place is to ask Him to come into our midst. Because when He comes, He will speak to us. And I think we will have a sense of the fear of God. And I think many times we are unable to fear God and to not to speak bad words, just because we are not mindful of His presence. It's just an idea sometimes. That was what I was sharing with this group of people yesterday. How can God really reveal Himself to people around us if we are not speaking the way that we should be speaking as God's people? If we are not reflecting His radiance, His love and His mercy, His gentleness, His goodness, even His power. I think a few weeks ago, on Monday maybe or Tuesday, Monday night, Monday afternoon, that was my free day. I was not particularly feeling very well. And I had a choice to make. And I said, well, look, I can just cover myself with a blanket and I rest. Or I can pray and ask the Lord to touch me, and then also to have a Panadol or anything to just to maybe to help me a little bit. We are all using Panadols. And then the one option I had was just to take a Panadol and pray, and then to go through my a lot of papers in my garage, a lot of papers, sermons and papers, and I went through a lot of them. And I came across a sermon that was preached on at my ordinations. And it was a really an amazing night. I was really under something, and I was not feeling particularly well that night. So maybe I was trying to pay attention to what was being preached, but I was just catching a few things. And then after the service, I lost the sermon because I was handed this sermon. It's a tradition that you are given a sermon and then you keep it and then you go through it again. So when I come across, I finally got it after 4 years. When I got that, I saw the title, Follow Jesus, and these are the only two words, and then what the sermon was about, filling up the sermon. And I came across this statement, that you may not heal people, but you are called to follow Jesus. And I put it straight away back in one of my drawers. Yes, Jesus has called us to follow him, but also he has called us to heal the sick and to pray for those who are in troubles and to deliver those who are under the power of demons and to preach to the lost and be saved. So I was not only called to follow Jesus, but exactly to do what Jesus has called us to do, because he said, you go and you heal people, and then greater things than what I did you will do as his disciples. And I was just so surprised. So maybe we just want a religion that is devoid of power and devoid of God himself. So I regretted those statements. And the presence of God in our midst, what does it mean? It means that we will show God's heart. When we are kind of the kindness of God, of Christ himself, isn't it? So everything we do it to the glory of God and through his power. And that will be really different from other things that other people are doing. You can march into a difficult situations and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you demonstrate his presence and then he can do something. I have a lot of examples, not of my own. Just I don't want to talk about myself. There is a lady, she lives just like 4 kilometers from us here. She had a daughter, maybe she was 8 or 7. She went with the school group to a swimming pool. And as they were swimming, and suddenly this girl, she drowned, literally, in Australia, here. And then she was brought out from the pool, and she was just laid beside the pool, covered with a white sheet, declared dead. Just imagine this mother, a tall Sudanese lady, very tall. She was coming, a Christian lady. And people were trying to stop her from going into the scene. And she said, what? I am a mother. I'm the mother. And she was her firstborn. And she made her way. And just she fell over her daughter and prayed. And her daughter came back to life. And now she's completing a PhD in research cancer at Wagga Wagga. What is the university where your sister is going? So God wants to be in our midst, to know his presence, to know his kindness for us, to do things for us, and to do things through us and for us. And so this girl came to life. Many, many, many testimonies of other people. You walk into a situation in the name of Jesus Christ, and his presence is declared there. You meet someone, a stranger, and the Holy Spirit will move your heart to help them and to do something. And they will recognize that this is from God, the God of heaven and the earth. So David, with his own people, he knew that his kingdom without the God of Israel himself will fall apart. But God has made this covenant with his forefathers. And this promise that he, through the seed of Abraham, he will bless many nations. And we are part of the nations that have come to be blessed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because the seed is Jesus Christ himself. And today we have the true ark. The ark was pointing to Christ himself. We have Christ in our midst, in our lives. So what a people we are. Greatly blessed. Greatly blessed to have access to the God of the whole universe and to have all his grace and mercy and power at our disposals if we seek him with all of our hearts. If we set ourselves apart and not ashamed to declare to the world that the God is with us. the God of Abraham is with us. We are a people filled with the Holy Spirit. We are a people like no other people. Not because of what we are, but because of who is in us. For who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. That is what the Word of God tells us. So it was important for the people of Israel, led by this man, David, to bring into their midst the Ark of the Covenant. That represents the true covenant, the true God of Israel, to be in their midst. The Ark of the Covenant is the Lord in the midst of his own people. Any religion, any Christian faith, without Christ manifesting all his power, his holiness, is not representative of Christ. And I think this is our, and the only way we can do this is about believing his words, isn't it? It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's about acting with one another kindly, loving one another. But I'm afraid we have been just touched by the world, and we are thinking the way the world thinks, passing on judgments and being too much self-centered, trying just to be clever in our own. I will be really satisfied to be really foolish if that will make Christ really glorified in my life. That is what Apostle Paul said. He became even nothing for the sake of knowing Christ, his Lord and his Savior. He said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. To know him, not to know about him. I want to know him. And so the aim is to know the God of the covenant. That was his presence, whose presence was made symbolically by the Ark of the Covenant. And so that was my challenge to my own people yesterday, and I think that is also a challenge to me and you also, that we need to make sure that we are walking with our God. And I don't have much to say, because what this man is doing now, we know more about it than himself, this man. It was a symbol, isn't it? But we have the reality. Even with that symbolism, God was making it sufficient for them to know that he is with them. Well, as I said, well, let us continue to seek to have God in our services. Let us continue to have God in our board of management, even deacons. Let us not just do it as like a management thing, managing money. And no, it's just about caring for people through Christ's heart. Even the board of management, when we have the money, it's not about the money. It's about the God of the money, what he wants to do with the money. Isn't it? That is the issue. So we don't want even the ark. We want the church. We want the carpets. We want the chairs. We want the music. We want everything else, but not God himself. Not Christ. So let us strive at knowing Christ in our midst. Let us repent of any hint of entertaining any thought, or even philosophers, anything, rules of for life, isn't it? You've got a lot of things coming, isn't it, to adopt as principles of life. The internet is full of all these things. Just as rubbish. So let us turn to the Word of God. Let us commune with our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the resurrected King, who is before the throne of God, even interceding for us, to know him more, to know God, and to hear his voice. Even today we struggle to know God's voice, just simply because we are just so bombarded with a lot of things around us, even the church regulations. And so we have something called the code of conduct, the code of the Presbyterian Church. All the meetings, they pull it out. And now people are just saying, if you are a minister who is not going to bed with the code of conduct, you cannot know all the rules. So it has become really akin to the Bible, and sometimes even much more important than the Bible. So what are we becoming? Just imagine if we become a church that is heavily regulated, and then I can guarantee to you that Christ cannot dwell richly and gloriously and powerfully in our midst. So we need to shake all these things off. Yeah, regulations are very important. Orders is very important. I'm a keen follower of laws, even if I don't like them. Just simply because, it's very important that we do that. But we have the greatest law. When I was sharing with Professor Millen during our coffee, I said to him, when I am tired, when I'm down and crushed and going through hard things, I go to Psalm 19, especially verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And when you have the word of God and reading it under him and his grace and mercy, he will pour out his Holy Spirit and there will be joy, and joy unspeakable. Not just something we talk about, something we experience. Hallelujah. So let us be a people who experience God. Let us be a people, not just to do things for us. Because that is one of the worst things now. The church is just so crazy about. Just to do things for us. No. Just to love him and to interact with him. Just to be in his presence and to praise him. Yeah, it is good for him to do things for us. And I was just struggling the whole day today from the very morning. I'm not feeling particularly very well. But God is able to give us life and to give us joy in him, so that we know it's not about what he does for us and maybe healing us or doing anything, but it's all about being with us and knowing that we have a God who is journeying with us.